This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Adam Bender is officially the first employee of the Cabela Family Foundation. His official title is Development Director. But Adam, given his track record in the industry, is going to take a lot more than the Development Director role. I feel like Adam's going to really take the Cabela Family Foundation to the next level. And we're super excited about what is going to happen there. Dan Cabela is a good friend of Blood Origins. As you will hear in the podcast, he affectionately calls me Robert. And we just love what they do over there and couldn't be excited to sit down with Adam and have a conversation literally 3 weeks on the job to say, hey, what's up with your life now? And what are you planning to do with the Cabela Family Foundation? Have a listen. It's a great conversation. You're going to see more and more and more of the Cabela Family Foundation and Blood Origins in sort of merging our two greatest talents. And if you like the podcast, give it a share. Let everybody know about Adam and what the Cabela Family Foundation is doing. Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star rating if you can. And enjoy.
So there's a reason why I started Blood Origins. And that reason is simple. Is that I wanted to convey the truth about hunting.
It brings awareness to non-hunters that it's more than just killing animals.
How do I start it? Brittany.
My name is...
Does my hair look okay?
It's fantastic.
My name is Mike Axelrod.
Start again.
Yeah, I hated it too.
Braxton, you said something in the car to me. You said that you were living on borrowed time. Hmm.
There's a perception around who hunters are, what we're supposed to be, and a feminist that works for a nonprofit that is a hunter that has only eaten wild game for the last 20 years is likely not the thing that people think about when it comes to a hunter.
There we go. All good.
Okay.
Cabela's family. Is it Cabela's?
Cabela. No S.
Cabela.
Cabela.
Cabela Family Foundations. Technically, first W-2 employee.
Yeah. Yeah. First.
You can't count Dan. Dan
no,
doesn't count.
No, and I'm the first. I'm the only person without the name Cabela associated. There is nobody else.
Jeez.
Without the sons and daughter.
Yeah, I was always wondering, like literally, and we've spoken for a while, and I won't give away who you are quite yet, but we've spoken for a while, and I've known Dan for a while. We told Dan's story on Blood Origins. Mm-hmm. We went and got the elk crack cocaine that he serves at his Dripping Springs residence that you have seen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dan's a, if you don't know Dan, he's a unique character. And I think unique is the best way to put it.
Fair. Fair.
If he gives you the dry sense of humor that is Dan Cabela, you know you're on like the good side of Dan Cabela.
That's right.
Like today I saw him, right? You know that he doesn't call me Robbie or Robert, right?
No.
He calls me Robert.
Robert. I like that. I might have to change you in my phone at that. I kind of like that.
Yeah, just put Robbie Robert Kroger.
Got it.
Yeah, like that's it. How Dan introduced. He says, "Hey, Robert, how you doing?"
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
But I was like, man, what are you, like, I see you doing good stuff. I really love the stuff you're doing. Doing big, audacious stuff. Mm-hmm. Moving 24 lions, that is now, and we can talk about it later, is now 86 lions or soon to be 100 lions. Mm-hmm. Probably 100 lions this year.
Yep.
You moved 12 cheetahs that are now 24 cheetahs or something crazy. Mm-hmm. Done audacious stuff. Has his Hard Truth show that's on History. And he goes hunting around the world, but tackles issues whilst he's hunting.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. This is a cool little hobby, man. Like, I get it.
It's definitely multifaceted. You know, I think as an outsider looking in for a long time, you know, I always obviously respected it. But then now once, you know, kind of entered into the fold, it became more and more aware of just how much the family is doing. Whether it's behind the scenes or with one of the large-scale initiatives.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, man, what are you going to, like, where's this going? And I don't think Dan knew where it was going.
Sure. Well, obviously, I mean, Mary was a large portion of it. You know,
but do you think Mary had an idea of, like, what they wanted the Cabela Family Foundation to do?
You know, I guess I don't know. Without obviously asking her, and we don't have the possibility.
Yeah, we don't have the ability to do that today, yeah.
I guess, you know, I'm not sure. And I know they always had big plans for it. What the plans were, I think, were a work in progress. And then that's where I came in.
But Dan, has Dan come talk to you like, we talked about this, we talked about that, we...
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's some ideas out there, for sure. Mm. But they're very close to the vest, naturally.
Sure.
And you know, obviously the conservation landscape is getting more and more competitive, and I think that in time, you know, one of the first things they asked me to do was, you know, 3-year strategic plan. Like, we need to chart the course. Mm. Where are we going? Mm. What are the goals? You know, how are we going to get there? Who do we need to involve? Who do we got to lean on? Outreach. You know, and that's obviously where knowing somebody like you is great in your platform.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot going on, but a lot of people don't know. And I guess that's where I come in now, is to help make some of that awareness happen.
Yeah. Well, Adam Bender, welcome to the Blood Origins podcast.
Thank you much.
Congratulations on you were like, you texted me. I think you texted me like a couple of days before, and you're like, hey, I need to talk to you. I think I ignored you. I can't remember what I did.
You were busy. Let's just leave it at that.
And then you text me like, dude, I need like 5 minutes of your time, like right now.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. And I called you. I was like, what's up?
Well, common courtesy, I wanted you to hear before the world heard.
Oh, man.
You know, there's a handful of people that I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. Just because I knew with this next chapter of my life,
sure,
there's going to be some people that I wanted to naturally lock arms with.
Yeah, 100%.
Know? It's been great, though. I mean, I'm super, super humbled. I mean, even to be mentioned in the same sentence as that family is truly humbling, you know, especially as a small town kid from Nebraska.
Yeah, so you grew up in, so like, I didn't grow up in America, right?
Yep.
I came here when I arrived in 2003, there were Bass Pro Shops and there were Cabela's.
Yep.
And I remember taking my dad to, I was living in Oxford, Mississippi at the time, and the only thing that was around was in Memphis, which was a Bass Pro Shop. And we went in there and it was just like, what? This is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, what is this place?
A little bit different than a sports store in South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. It was just unbelievable. And so the names are like, obviously synonymous with outdoors and hunting. Mm-hmm. But Cabela's originated out of Nebraska.
Correct.
Out of your backyard.
Correct. Yep. So I grew up on the eastern side of the state. But yeah, I mean, Cabela's grew its roots.
They came out of the western side, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Chapel, Nebraska. So okay. It started on Dick and Mary's kitchen table selling hand-tied fishing flies. Mm. You know, and that's how it started, and then that kind of took off, and then an ad in a local sporting goods came out, and then it just kind of snowballed. But yeah, I grew up I'm from the eastern side of the state, but I grew up going to the Kearney, Nebraska store, which is kind of the middle of the state.
Is that the first store?
Nope. It's one of the first.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact number, but it's one of the first. One of the smaller stores, actually. It was so early that it wasn't the big, huge footprint with the big bronze, you know, like they became. But yeah, I mean, I grew up going to that store twice a month with my dad, you know, walking around and just daydreaming. For me, and my whole, you know, 14 years of my professional career was for Cabela's, then Bass Pro. For me, you know, to get this opportunity, I mean, it's a full circle moment. You know, as a small town kid from Nebraska who grew up idolizing Cabela's, to now work for the family, I mean, there's no greater honor.
Does anybody else work for the family?
They
have other businesses, but not in the conservation space?
No. I mean, Dan has an executive assistant and a tech guy who runs day to day. But I mean, there's, as you know, there's so many facets to it. You know, there's DC Ranches, there's Dosees, there's the foundation, there's the exotic wildlife side. I mean, there's so much to it.
Mm.
But as far as the foundation, no, I'm number one.
Okay, so you've given us the history. Super privileged to be in the position.
Sure.
Okay, what is the mission? Like, you've now sat down. How long have you been on staff?
So, I guess December, what do we say? December 4th, December 5th?
Look at him pulling out
pulling
out his pamphlet. He's ready to go.
I definitely don't want to misquote. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So I have this here. This is for you, actually.
Oh, man.
But our mission statement is to build and create partnerships and projects which promote outdoor recreation, conservation, and charity towards others.
Say that first part again.
To build and create partnerships and projects which promote outdoor recreation, conservation.
Blood Origins is in.
And charity towards others. You know, and Dick and Mary had anybody who knows them well, they know they had a huge sense of faith. They were devout Catholics.
Mm.
So that's really where the charity towards others comes in. It obviously, conservation impact is one thing, but they do a lot of faith-based things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's super important to them even to this day.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
But is that done through the foundation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is that part of your portfolio?
We'll see. We'll see.
We don't know yet.
As things take off.
Yeah, as you know, grow and change.
It's been like drinking from a fire hose.
100%.
You know, for the first 45 days. I mean, 10 days in, Dan was like, hey, I'd like to get you down to Texas to my place, and we'll get three days together.
So you've been 6 weeks on the job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, 10 days in, I was down in Austin at his house and, you know, basically getting – he carved out – I mean, he's so busy. I mean, travels 280 plus days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he carved out 3 days and just kind of said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, okay. So I put together this huge document of all these questions, some very simple, some very pointed. It was just, you know, kind of a wish list, if you will. And it was great. You know, got a 3-day peek behind the scenes of his place and Dosees. And then naturally we did a lot of what I'd call strategic planning.
Yeah.
You know, getting a lot of that history built in
mm-hmm.
early on just to lay the foundation for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obviously, it's 23 years old. It was formed in 2000.
Had you been involved in any of the projects?
Nope.
You hadn't, right?
Nope. Now, obviously, there was some crossover in 2019 when Ivan and I did the conservation experience in Qatar 11. So that was the elephant collaring.
That was the elephant collaring in Qatar 11 with the lion project.
With Haldane and Zambezi Delta. So Zambezi Delta, naturally, in Qatar 11 is the huge home of where the lions are, where the cheetahs are. So there was a little bit of crossover, but not on an official scale. Naturally, it was happening in the same place, and Mark Haldane helped to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as in an official capacity, no. I was always on the sidelines.
So you gave me the verbatim mission statement. What's Adam's mission for the foundation?
I mean, I think for me, it's about growing the Cabela family legacy. I think what that family means to the outdoor world is really, really important. And they cared a lot about conservation. Like, yes, everybody knows Dick and Mary and Jim and the family for what they did with the store, stores. But I think beyond that, anybody who knew them very personally knew how much they really cared about conservation and truly leaving an impact and leaving things better than they found it.
Mm.
And that's where a lot of the, you know, the big initiatives like 24 Lions and 12 Cheetahs came from, was because they said, hey, we want to go make a difference. And, you know, that's a lot to bite off.
Yeah, we want to do big things, audacious things.
Yeah. I mean, it's the largest lions translocation in the history of the world.
Correct.
Nobody's ever done it
yeah.
that to that scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was a great way to kick things off. Now it's like, hey, how do we grow?
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the two big initiatives. Yes, there's been other things. You know, Dan's even partnered with you on the
Black
Bears.
Bear Project in Arkansas, research on black bears. Yep.
But there's just so much out there that they've done that people don't know about.
That's why I only know the three.
Sure, sure. Well, there's more, and there's more coming.
From a conservation perspective.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And in due time, you know, they're very big on wanting to make sure that initiatives are going to be successful.
100%. Dan cannot emphasize that enough. He's like, oh, I'm not getting involved in that project. I don't know anything about it yet.
Yeah.
Takes us 2 years to get an understanding. He's like, Dan, we don't have 2 years. I got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. It's very much, you know, want to err on the side of success.
And, 100%.
And that takes a lot of time, you know, unfortunately. And nothing of this stuff happens fast. I'm sure everybody would like it to move faster. But, yeah, I mean, that's really, for me, my personal legacy is to ensure that what Dick and Mary started lives on through their children. And if I get to be a small portion of that, and someday when I'm old and gray and my kids and your kids can go see, you know, wild lions in Cutata 11 that, you know, weren't there 150 years ago, and they were there now because of this foundation, that's my legacy.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you want to do?
Putting me on the spot.
No, it's not. It's like just daydream for a while. You've got an opportunity here to talk on a platform about your dreams of what you want to do with the Cabela Family Foundation.
I want to go do real conservation. I know you've heard
What does that mean?
Not hashtag conservation.
Okay, what does that mean?
I think, you know, real conservation is a very convoluted topic. And, you know, this conservation has become a buzzword, you know, in the outdoor industry. Now everything is hashtag conservation this, hashtag conservation that. You do anything now, people, because of the platform of social media and the... And
you know what I'm going to title this episode
now,
right?
I know.
Hashtag conversation, conservation.
I know. I walked right into it, but whatever. I mean, it's nothing new. I've said it before, and I've said it multiple times. I don't really like the virtue signaling that conservation has become. It's this rallying cry that if you put it out there, it automatically tells somebody something about who you are and what you're about. But the problem is it goes a lot further than social media. And I think that as somebody like yourself, you can appreciate, you know, there's conservation on social media, and then there's real boots on the ground work that needs to be done. And what does that take? Dollars. And what does it also take? Manpower and time and resources and knowledge. And it's so much deeper than hashtag conservation, which is all you see on social media. And, you know, as far as what I want to do, I mean, I want to be impactful. I want to be a man of my word and say, when we go do something, we're going to do it to the best of our ability and give it 120%. And I'm not saying that there's no room for failure, but if you fail, you learn and you dust yourself off and you get up and you go again.
Yeah.
And I think that in my position as a development director, I get to go out and seek opportunities. And
didn't Dan give you the opportunity to name your position? Why'd you name me the development director?
No, that's not true. I don't know where you heard that.
I would have gone like Chief Dan Officer or something like that. Come on, Dan Cabela.
Nope.
Change his title to the Chief Dan Officer, Dan in line.
It was development director, which is really funny because how the whole thing happened is just kind of crazy. But I didn't even know the position title. I knew nothing. I literally knew nothing. I got a cold phone call from Dan, and he was asking for help and asked if I knew any names.
Yeah, and you missed the beat.
And I missed the subtle hint. So I went about my life, and about a week, 10 days later, I kind of thought about it. And I'm like, was that what I thought it was? And then I called back and turned out that's what it was. So I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but you can call me whatever. It's not important to me. The body of the work is what's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even in these first 45 days, I mean, the things I've worked on have been, I mean, jack of all trades has always kind of been my thing, whether it's marketing or whether it's outreach or it's communications or social media.
Are you running the social media?
Nope.
You got access to the social media?
I mean, obviously have an in. We have a third-party partner that helps post it on the foundation side, but doing all the emails now. And then all the forward communications that are going to be coming on behalf of the foundation. That's my background. You know, I'm a writer. So
awesome.
It's how the message and the voice and the tone go forward. Yeah, that'll be me. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yep.
Like, we always obviously have to keep in check.
It's
Midwest values for sure. Very humble people. And But yeah, to what you said earlier, when we get confirmation it crosses 100, you better believe that's coming. That's a goal. If you want to see what
that's
I want to do,
that's going to be a huge piece.
That will be a big piece to show that the model works.
I can even see like the beginning of the film. You can put like 24 lines, and you can just put a big strike through, and just put like 100.
Sure.
I like that.
I like that.
Don't steal it. It's commission.
I'll put credit Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
So you know, I think, I really to wrap up that point. I want people to know what we're doing, and
there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
can be humble.
Absolutely, and I think it's not from a chauvinistic standpoint. It's that. The work is out there. It needs to be done. These are the things that are doable and obtainable that, yes, they take time, effort, money, all the above. But when you truly invest and you truly believe in it, look what's possible. And this 24 Lions project is it. And, you know, when you cross 100 there, and it shows that hunters, you know, care so much about wildlife that they were willing to spend and invest all this money and time and research and people to do it. And in 5 years, look what's happened. You know, you 5X'd the population. And all of that funding came from hunters' dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just mm-hmm. an amazing story. And mm-hmm. and you can't argue it.
No, and I think, you know, pushing that story for what it is, yes, clearly there is a who did it.
Sure.
Okay? CFF. But that doesn't have... That's not the reason why...
No.
You're pushing it.
No.
And I think that's where, you know... Again, getting away from the humbleness of it, the Midwest sort of nature of things. That's the message that, you know, from a Blood Origins perspective, I couldn't give two stuffs whether you saw Blood Origins or not.
Right.
I want it to be like, look at this.
Right. Yep. And I think it's the ego perspective is something earlier to the, you know, the hashtag conservation thing. It's a real thing, you know, the smallest thing now out there today, and somebody puts that in there as their mantra, all of a sudden, you know, they're the next Aldo Leopold because they bought a NGO's membership, you know, and they post the receipt online, hashtag conservation. It's like, hey, that is important, but just remember it goes a lot further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And
but what about you if you couldn't do anything more?
If I couldn't do anything
more? No, if that person.
Oh. I mean, I guess every little bit of support counts, and I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, I guess
they're not allowed to tout that they're doing something for conservation.
I wouldn't say not allowed to tout, and I guess probably taking too aggressive of a stance on it. But you know, really, I guess to me in the you know the influencer space is where it really seems to show its kind of ugly head quite a bit. And I don't know. You know, the everyday Joe, obviously, yes, supporting NGOs and whether that's your pheasants to your ducks to your quail, trout, deer, elk, it's all obviously important. You're right. I think it's just, like I said, it's blown up within, and maybe it's because I'm too close to it in, you know, the hunting industry and it's mm-hmm. all I've worked in for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where this little bit of jaded view has came from. But it just seems like in the last couple of years, it's gotten really, really bad.
Yeah. No, there's so much good stuff to be done, man. There's some big audacious projects still on the horizon.
For sure. Yeah. And you know, we've kinda got a little bit of a vision board started in my basement.
You gonna move 500 elephants?
I don't know. I know it's out there. And I know the people that wanna do it, and I know when it was brought to the family.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's look. Elephants is a very unique beast because I think, and as you get more into the space,
sure,
I'd love to get your opinion on it, but I'm very keen. We've got a huge elephant documentary coming out of Botswana, mm-hmm. probably April-ish, May-ish. Okay. It's going to be, I've done so much elephant research in like what kind of documentaries have been created. A shit ton have come out of Botswana, but nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like we interviewed 86 people in 16 mm-hmm. days or whatnot. But I want to take it one step up. I was telling someone today, I want to tell the elephant narrative,
mm-hmm.
which is, 500 elephants to translocate them. That's awesome. But South Africa, nobody wants an elephant.
Nope.
You can't give them away.
Nope.
Namibia, nobody wants an elephant. Zimbabwe, nobody wants an elephant. Botswana, nobody wants an elephant. Mozambique, there's probably some places still that would take elephants.
Malawi, yep. Tanzania, probably, but the population is growing really well right now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, the narrative is now, our narrative is no more save the elephant. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do we do with the elephants mm-hmm. now?
It's and to your point, that's a story that's not being told. You know, the Disney effect of the elephant has taken over. The reality, you know, and you, as the South amount, African, the, you know.
Yeah, the amount of, like, NGOs tied to elephants.
Oh.
I started a list. I'm at, like, 30-something. All just elephant guys. And if you go on every single one of their websites.
Save the elephants.
It's like we've lost 90% of elephant populations, which is true.
Yep.
In 100 years.
Yep.
In which the African human population
has expanded by what?
I honestly don't. I can't find a reliable number for.
Well, yeah, because how are you going
to
find
Africans
that?
In like the 1900s? But it's got to be 1,000% more.
I mean, at least
2,000% more.
Yeah.
And it's just like, guys, we have 400,000 elephants right now. I would love for scientists to generate based on the available habitat today. Not from back yesteryear, today. How many elephants do we think we legitimately can support?
Right. Right.
My question, I think we may be over the number.
I bet you'd be shocked. I bet if somebody really poured into that data and what they could tell, you know, the carrying capacity of certain areas.
Yep.
Because it's, like you said, based off where you go, it's a totally different dynamic.
Oh, no, it's totally.
And that's, again, Disney effect just says, save the elephants.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the case if you go over across the pond and ask some questions and talk to somebody that's affected, you know, by elephants. It's not that way. But again, the only narrative that's really out there is save the elephants.
But it's still a bloody good project. Like, I'd still love to be involved in like a 500 elephant translocation, but it would have to be, you know, you'd have to move it into like the DRC or into Angola
mm-hmm.
or like northern Zambia and whatnot. But shit, man, like moving like 36 elephants across countries
yeah.
is like a million and a half.
Right. And then you're going over to 500.
And there's not many people that can transport.
There's a lot of zeros behind that number. I know that. I know that. But I think, you know, and to get back to what you said earlier, you know, I want to find things in North America.
Mm.
Things that are relatable.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one thing that the foundation has is, you know, their two large-scale initiatives are both Africa-based. And that's because Dick and Mary cared so much about Africa. And I think that as we go forward, I want to find ways to be extremely...
I've got a big one in America. It's just... It has some logistical headaches.
Sure. Well... Turns out I did logistics for many years, so...
No, this one has got some federal logistics.
Oh, I'm not saying that I can't solve it, but I'd love to hear it. But I think becoming relatable, you know, that would be another legacy piece for me. What do I want to do?
100%.
I want, when people hear Cabela Family Foundation, they want to know that who they are and what they're rooted in and that they care deeply about conservation.
Yeah.
And it's not just Africa-based. That's definitely another thing. That
I think the coolest thing that is on your horizon is that, yes, 24 lions was pre-you, cheetahs was pre-you, but look at the projects that are going to come down the pipeline that are going to be you.
Sure. Well, it's definitely not me, but I mean,
but you'll be like, I helped organize it. I helped operate it. I helped put it in the ground.
Yeah.
I was a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, the phone calls, the texts, the WhatsApps that have already happened. Have just kind of got me laying my head down at night, just going, man, this is crazy. This is actually happening.
Mm.
I think that a lot of that is credit to the relationships I built over 17 years in the outdoor industry and traveling the world and going all these different places and becoming cultured in the aspect of learning different conservation issues across the globe.
Yeah,
And just, you know.
Well, you need that acumen.
For sure. And getting this... opportunity now to actually do something about it mm-hmm. is I get
excited. I got some cool projects for you in Australia and New Zealand as well.
I get excited thinking about it.
Well,
I mean it's gonna be really fun to be able to talk amongst the family and figure out where we want to invest, what do we want to do, where do we want to leave an impact? Mm-hmm. Because some of this stuff, you know, and you know this, there's a lot of bureaucracy behind the scenes on some of this.
Sure.
You know, there's usually some smoke and mirrors to some of it on why some of these things need to be done. And then when you dive in, you're like, well, that's not quite the case. But
And if you just let it also, you know, you just let it quieten down a little bit.
Yeah.
Then it seems to like, oh, what happened to everyone?
Yeah.
All disappeared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And interest ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that for me on the horizon, that's the most exciting thing is to know what's ahead of us.
Mm.
Like what we've done in the past as a foundation, obviously I was not a part of it, but it's all good work.
Sure.
But now where we go
forward.
Well,
you've also got some good pieces coming that you can really sort of lean on.
Sure.
For successes and
sure.
lean on to showcase this is what we've done, this is what we're doing, this is where we're going.
Sure. And when I got told, yeah, to what you quoted earlier, you know, 86 is the number that they think we're at right now. So 14 Cubs away, you do the math, it's going to happen this mm-hmm. year, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
I just was very honest with Dan. I said, we have to make this a big deal. I mean, every option, every opportunity we have, every outlet we have, we got to make this a big deal. Full court press. I said, because this could lay the new kind of runway for where we're going.
Sure.
Like
100%.
It could introduce a whole bunch of people to basically what they hadn't even heard about. And then it's like, whoa, look at that. And then you've got the facts and the data and the photography and the videography and the year's worth of reports that have come out every single year from our partners at Zambezi Delta showing by the numbers how they took off and where they did, how their home range is changing, and how many have been caught in gin traps and how many have been saved by the anti-poaching team. I mean, it's such a cool, compelling story
mm-hmm.
that I think it could really be that launching platform for the future.
Yeah, totally agree, man. Totally agree. Well, you're certainly excited, man, and you should be excited.
Very much so.
You've been, you've done a great job with what you used to do at Bass Pro Shop. And, you know, now you at a time in your life, especially with your kids and your family, just like me, that now it's a new chapter.
That's right.
And it's almost like reinvigorating.
Oh, big time.
You know?
It's leaving. This is, for outside of going to Dan's, this is my first trip away from my wife and kids again. You know, when I used to do this full time, gone, go, 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 hosting these people on hunting and fishing trips. And, this one was different. Like this one, I had a little bit extra pep in my step.
Yeah, and it's like, you're almost in the same world that I live in now. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, who you're going to speak with today. You don't know what the kind of, who you're going to meet tomorrow.
Right.
What kind of meeting you're going to have tomorrow. You have no idea.
Right. And that was something that I was really nervous about early on was the lack of structure. But now I've come to thrive on it.
You 100%.
Know? I mean, every day, I have my things that I need to do. But when the random phone call happens or the random text from Dan comes in and you just pivot and shift, I've really come to love it in a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that for me, just being proud to say who I work for, I mean, it's just, I think that is an immense thing that creates, happiness within people. When
you
truly 100%. Care about what you do and who you do it for,
mm.
I mean, that's a big deal. And for me, like, that's what got me so excited about this trip was because I've been to this show how many times, but they've always known me as, Adam Bender from Club Signature Events, and now it's in a different capacity. And the amount of people that reach down, they're like, hey, we want to talk, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
sweet.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, you can trust and count on our support, my support.
Absolutely.
Whatever we can do to help tell the story.
Absolutely.
It's what we do.
Well, we appreciate it very much. And, you've been a great voice for collectively all of us in the hunting space for many years now. And I think, we can't slow down.
Hell no.
We're getting this momentum building.
We were just about to put the gas pedal down.
Right, right.
Exactly.
And I think that the future is bright for sure.
100%. Well, cheers, bud.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bawana.
Well, that's it for today. I appreciate you listening, as always. Leave a review, share it with your friends, and most importantly, do what's right to convey the truth around hunting.